A lady made that fateful trek to glory and arrived at the pearly gates where St. Peter welcomed her. He said, "Welcome to the eternal glory of heaven's gate, and the pearly gates are open for you. All you have to do is spell one word to enter." She said, "Oh no, I'm a terrible speller." He said, "It's okay, the word is love." She said, "All right, I know that one. L-O-V-E. He said, "You're right, come on in." About a year later, she was walking by the gate again, and St. Peter said, "I need to take a little break. Do you mind covering the gate for me while I'm gone?" She said, "Sure." And lo and behold, she was there working the gate. Here comes her husband. She said, "What are you doing here? Well, how are you? What's going on?" He said, "Well, you know, things have been really good since you've been gone." He said, "You remember the nurse that used to care for me? Well, we got married. And we've been spending all of our inheritance that you and I had saved. And remember that condo you always wanted in Florida? I bought her that too." And he said, "We were down there at our condo. We were on a skiing trip. And I had an accident. And well, now I'm here." He said, "Anyway, how do I get in?" She said, "Well, you have to spell a word." He said, "What's the word?" She said, "Czechoslovakia." She wasn't as welcoming as St. Peter. I may have told that joke to some of y'all in here before. I'm not sure. I get mixed up. I speak at so many different places now, I forget who I've told what. But laugh like you've never heard it anyway, right? St. Peter is in the welcoming business. Those are the stories we know of his pearly gate acceptance of us who've entrusted in Jesus Christ. But you know, our scripture today reminds us that that was at the heart of Peter's ministry, saying this: the church is for you. The church is a sanctuary for people in need of love and grace found only in Jesus Christ. In our world where it's so easy to be rejected, outcast, looked down upon, not good enough for this or that, and we're measured whether it's our batting average on our baseball team stand or how well we're producing in work. That's the world we live in. We understand that. But the church is the place where God welcomes us as we are to be transformed through his life-giving love. Peter said in our text today, I love these words that Peter proclaimed as he was challenged by the Jerusalem believers to say, why would we accept these outsiders, these people who are different from us, these people who have different traditions and faith backgrounds? They're not of the chosen race. And it was the Holy Spirit that spoke to Peter. And Peter said these words, these beautiful words: when I saw that they had received the same gift that we'd received, I knew God was in it. See, friends, we embrace the world around us as the church because God first embraced us. That was the message of Peter in this text today. As we've received the gift of salvation, the gift of acceptance, the gift of being part of God's family in spite of our sinfulness and shortcomings, we exercise that gift and share it with others. This day at Ripley Presbyterian Church, I've shared with you, is a special day. A special day to welcome new members, new parts of our family into the fellowship here. And it's also a time for us to prepare and nurture our existing members who are going forth to new adventures in academic and life as they're growing up. As we consider the gift of our faith, I want to share with our new members and a reminder to our existing members and some of us who are just trying to do our best to practice our faith in Jesus Christ, what it is that we try to embody as Christ's light in this community. Not very long ago, we embraced a mission statement that said this: the mission of Ripley Presbyterian Church is to glorify and love God and love people, accepting them where they are and encouraging them on a lifelong, joyous relationship with Christ. That mission is rooted in the Great Commission to love God and love others. And prior to those words where Jesus said, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, that commission to live out the commandment to love, they gathered at that holy mountain and they worshiped Christ. You see, the simplicity of our faith, that's what we want to be about in this sacred setting. A place of worship. A place to count our blessing and consider how God has what? Once again, gifted us with His love. And give that gift to those around us. That's our mission as a congregation. That's what we invite you to be a part of as we serve this community. And from that mission, we recently, as I said, as elders and disciples sought, how can we live into that mission? More importantly, the Great Commission. What can we do together to help us glorify God, love God, and love the world around us? We said one thing we can set a goal to do is to become the most welcoming congregation in this community. A place where everybody knows they will love me there. They will accept me in spite of my past, my shortcomings, my disagreements. Whether I come from this background or they come from that background, this is a place where together we celebrate what we hold in common more than anything that separates us. That's our goal. To nurture you with the Spirit and gift that's nurtured us. I heard a story recently of Addie and Kenneth Menendez, who received an opportunity to welcome some Afghanistan refugees into their home. They jumped at the opportunity, those who were fleeing the war-torn country, and they said, we wanted them. We didn't just accept them. We sought them out to come into our home. What causes a grace, a hospitality, a welcoming spirit like that? Well, the Menendez knew the story of the refugees because they had migrated from Mexico themselves about 10 years ago. They said, we knew what it means to be welcome. We wanted to give the gift that we'd received. Friends, more than anything else, we as the church are to be a hospital for broken souls and spirits and emotions. A place where we don't come in our perfection, but a place where we come to get restored. If we don't feel we're worthy to come into this sacred setting, then we need to be here most of all. We don't go to church when we get our life straightened out. We go to church to get our life straightened out. Friends, this is the place we want to be for you and to serve this community. I love the beautiful passage Jennifer shared. Jesus' words there on that mandate Thursday, or Monday Thursday that we celebrate right before Good Friday, where the last thing he said, it's also our mission statement is rooted in those words. In the Great Commission, right? I said that from Matthew, where Jesus' final instruction. But here's Jesus' final instructions from John. Did you hear it again? He said to Jen, as Jen read it today. Jesus said, the Father has been glorified. And the Son has been glorified. Now what I want you to do, church, he said, friends, is love one another. By this, everyone will know that you're my disciples. You're my church by your love. See, once again, it goes back to our mission, or our mission goes back to Scripture. It begins with glorifying God, worshiping God, providing a place of counting our blessings and giving thanks to God who has gifted us, and transitions what? To loving one another and all of God's people. Friends, that's what we want to be about. That's the light we yearn to shine on this community and embrace with the same gift of the faith that we've received. I heard recently the words of Dr. Craig Barnes, president of Princeton Theological Seminary, reflecting upon his time in graduate school, when he said, while I was going through my educational journey, I had a colleague, one of our students, who was from a different country. And he said, every American holiday, he would bring all of the people in our study group, about a half a dozen of us, he would bring us gifts. Veterans Day, bring us a gift. Columbus Day, we'd get a gift. He said they'd be little small gifts and something usually that he had made. And he said every time he presented us those gifts, he would give it with both hands. And Barnes said, eventually, curiosity got the best of him. He said, why do you always give your gifts with both hands? He said, well, it's just customary from where I'm from. That's the way they do it. And he said, I think it means that I give all of myself to you. It's a beautiful story in the Bible that we preached on not long ago, the story of the prodigal son, right? Where the son, after wandering from his faith, from his family, went home with the expectation just to be restored as a servant. Oh, but the Father, the grace of the Father ran to the son. And like that gift giver to Craig Barnes and his classmates, the Father gave love with both arms. And he embraced him and said, this is my child who was lost, but now is found. You see, not only are we as the church to be a place to welcome new people into the faith, but Hannah and Reed, as you go forth from here, we're always a place to come home to as well. For you are part of God's family now and forever, because you've been gifted with His grace, a grace that will pursue you, that will love you, and will nurture you every step of the way. We're going to pray blessings on you today as you go forth and never stop claiming you as our family. gifted by God's grace. Amen.